you have your Bibles, you're welcome to turn with me. I'm going to be in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. This morning, we're continuing our series, To Live is Christ. And as I was thinking about this passage this morning, I was reminded of the Olympics. And I don't know what your thoughts are on sports, on the Olympics, but I'll just tell you, I love the Olympics. I love the Olympics. I was watching the Olympics last night. I was yelling at the TV in excitement. And I know they can't hear me, but I'm just yelling and excited. And it's just such an amazing thing to watch athletes, especially the best in the world, compete as they press, as they strive, as they seek to reach their goal to win the prize for them, which for many of them, they're seeking to win a gold medal or just a medal at all. And how amazing it is when we watch and we see those who press on when they actually make their goal. I was watching last night as a swimmer who was competing in the 400-meter freestyle from Tunisia won the gold medal. He was barely even expected to be in the race, and yet he won. And in joy and excitement, he's pounding on the water because he knows that he has reached his goal. He has strived for what he has now accomplished. And so as we look at this text this morning, I want us to think about what we are striving for, what we are straining for as followers of Jesus, because there is purpose behind our striving. There's purpose behind our straining. We are seeking to follow Jesus, and there's going to be results from that striving as we seek our prize, Jesus Christ. And so I just want us to think about this morning, even as we come to this text. What are we striving for as we follow Jesus? And I'm just going to say, I believe, even as we come to the Word this morning, we strive to live as Christ, knowing that we are citizens of heaven. We strive to live as Christ, knowing we are citizens of heaven. With that, let's come to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. It begins, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but one thing I do, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Verse 15. "All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. But our their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." So as I've already said, we strive to live as Christ, knowing that we are citizens of heaven. And as Paul is starting off this, as he's beginning this passage, we can also be reminded he's just laid out some great truth to this church in Philippi. And so he's just expressed to them that his desire is to know Christ, that he wants to know Christ. He wants to know his sufferings even, and even unto death, knowing that, this is verse 11, or verse 10 to 11, that even in this suffering, even in the possibility of death that is coming before him as he's striving, that he may attain, it states, to become like him in his death, so that somehow I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And so this is his goal. And he's saying, I haven't already obtained my goal. And I have to think and I have to wonder if Paul has specific people in mind who may be wondering, has Paul arrived? Has he made it to the finish line? And Paul's saying, no, I haven't made it there yet. I am striving, and I'm pressing on, I'm pressing forward. And for you and I, it's important that we recognize this and understand our desire and our aim. That we haven't arrived yet to our goal. If Paul the Apostle had not yet arrived at his goal, and we believe this letter is likely written towards the end of his life, if he has not yet arrived at his goal, then we too can continue to strive and strain, pressing forward, knowing that our objective, our goal, our prize is Jesus. That our aim and our ambition, that we are being lifted upward in him to know him more and more. And for Paul, this knowing of Christ, it was entangled and entwined in suffering. Paul wrote this letter, most likely he's in prison in Rome. Again, this is most likely the end of his life. He knows this is probably coming, and so even as he's speaking this language, he has his death most likely in mind. He's saying, Christ, if you went to the cross to pay for my sin, I can go to death for you, knowing this is worshiping you, and knowing that even as I experience suffering, even as I experience death, I am going to experience the fullness of the resurrection of the dead in you through your resurrecting power, Jesus. So first and foremost, as we look at this text, we have to recognize that suffering, when we suffer, that does not mean that we have failed. It does not necessarily mean that we've done anything wrong. Paul himself had done nothing deserving of death, done nothing deserving of imprisonment. Yet here he is, essentially on death row, knowing that even in his death, God can be glorified through him. So if you're experiencing suffering, if you're experiencing pain this morning, I encourage you, especially if it's not because of sin or because of choices that you have made that are not of God, that you can rest secure in knowing that even in that suffering, Christ is glorified in it, because we have the opportunity to rely on him and to trust in him even when things don't go our way. And so we do not need to wonder, we don't have to think, God, have you failed me when I'm experiencing suffering? Because God can do something through our suffering. He can produce something wonderful. And though the suffering is not because of God, the suffering is because of the sin in this broken world we experience. And you and I see that around us. We recognize the suffering that takes place through sin because, unfortunately, men and women have chosen sin. You and I have chosen sin. That is to say, we've missed the mark. To say, we have gone our own way. We've turned ourselves from God. And we are seeing those effects. So the suffering that we are experiencing, no, that is not of God. Yet God can take our suffering. He can take our pain. And he can make something wonderful through it. Because he can allow his glory to shine through us. So first and foremost, as we look at this text, let us be reminded that we strive to know Christ. And again, Paul he's not reached his goal yet. And he says in verse 13, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And so it is because of the power of God that Paul can make this statement and recognize that God is calling him forward. In fact, this concept of calling, it's also a concept of identity. That Paul is saying, I have been called a child of God. I'm going to live out my identity. I'm going to be living out what it means to be a child of God. Jesus is my Savior. Therefore, he's calling me, identified me, and moving me forward. And I'm trusting in him and in his power. So I take those steps, one step after another, as if an Olympian, we could say, strives and strains to reach the finish line. So we, in faith, trust that God works through us, that he is with us, the Spirit is with us, and he will empower us to get to the finish line. So we do not need to be afraid. We don't need to fear if God would forget us or reject us. It is amazing. If you put your trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. So you can know Christ and walk with Christ through all that we face in this life. So our goal, first and foremost, we are striving to know Christ, to know Jesus, our Savior. Paul continues on. He says in verse 15, "All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained." And I do think that Paul, in some respects, he has multiple people in mind. And one of the groups he has in mind that he's speaking to is those who may actually be opposing his view. That they may be saying, well, Paul is striving, but he's in prison. Paul is seeking out to follow God to an extent, but clearly he's messed up, therefore he's suffering. Therefore, we shouldn't just follow Paul. You should listen to me. You should listen to my ideas as well. And so it's likely that there are probably people that are pushing back on Paul's message. And so Paul, as he's speaking to these people, he's saying that we should seek then, who are mature, that we should take such a view of things, that we should not see suffering as our failings, but we should see sufferings as opportunities to glorify God. Because he continues, "And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you." So he's calling out those who may be pushing against his message and saying, and I think in some respects there is a slight hint of sarcasm here. Like, if you really think differently than me, if you really think that this message of Jesus Christ, that he can use suffering, that we can seek to glorify him, even to our death, if you really think that there's more to this message, that there's somehow you and yourself, apart from God, can reach pleasure with God, can please God, that you don't necessarily, if you're failing, if you're struggling, that you can somehow attain glory with God without suffering. Paul's saying, I want to push back on that message. And he's speaking to the church in Philippi, and I have to wonder, too, with this church, if they also were experiencing suffering. In fact, I'm sure they were experiencing suffering. So Paul's encouraging them as well. Keep pressing forward, keep striving. And if somebody pushes against my message, do not listen to them. Don't listen to them. Because we know and we rely on Jesus Christ. So he continues, he says in verse 16, "Only let us live up to what we have already attained." Again, this knowledge, this understanding of attainment is only found in Jesus Christ. It's only found in our identity. So if there are those in your life who may be pushing back on the message of Jesus Christ, they may be saying, oh, Jesus really isn't with you. The Holy Spirit really isn't with you. You know, you're suffering. Where is your God? If you hear this message, recognize and understand that Paul trusted in the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when we experience pushback from the world, we don't need to fear where God is. He's with us. Amen. And so we even now, even in this very moment, are somehow attaining through Jesus Christ to live up to the message of what it means to be children of God. And so I think we could say it this way. We strive to live in the truth, that we strive to live in the truth of what it means for us to be children of God. Because we want to live as mature followers of Christ. And though Paul has stated he hasn't arrived, if we could say another way, he has not been made perfect. He hasn't reached perfection. He hasn't arrived at his goal. He's stating that. Yet he also calls himself mature. That is to say, he is living in the gospel. And so for all of us, our ambition, our goal should be that we seek to live as mature followers of Christ. That is to say, we are living within the gospel and seeking to move forward in faith in the gospel that has saved us. And so we press on and we strive again to know Jesus because we want to live out what it means to be children. We want to live out the truth in our lives. As we think about the truth, as we think about this striving, as we think about this straining, I think we can summarize this straining in three ways. First and foremost, I think from this text we can look at what it means to have endurance, to endure, to press on, to push forward, as it's stated in verse 14. That we endure, and we don't endure, again, on our own strength. We endure because of the Spirit's work in our life, attaining to what it means for us to be what God has called us to be. He's called us his children, therefore we will live as his children. So Paul is speaking to us that we should endure, press on, knowing that he will bring us to completion. He will bring the work to completion, as he's already said in Philippians 1:6. So we press on, we strive in endurance. And we also strive in love. Paul loved God. He loved Jesus. His life was entwined and entangled in this knowledge, this understanding that Jesus loved him so much that he would go to the cross for him, even while Paul was his enemy. And Paul himself lived a life that was not glorifying to God before he came to know Jesus. In fact, he was killing Christians. That is his background. And I wonder, to an extent, when we saw in verse 13 and 14, this forgetting what is behind and pressing on towards what is ahead, that some of what Paul had to forget was his failings, his mistakes, especially those believers that he had killed, he had persecuted. His own brothers and sisters now, he was involved in their death. And so he's forgetting what is behind and pressing forward, seeking to live in the truth of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to glorify God through his life, even his suffering and even his soon coming death. And so you and I need to seek to live in the truth, a truth that is rooted in love, a truth that is rooted in love from Jesus. So he received the love of Jesus, and he lived within the love of Jesus, seeking to love God with his life. And as he loved God with his life, that means he could even love his persecutors. He could reflect God even while he was in prison and jail. Even while he was being wrongly accused, he could love not only his brothers and sisters, but even those who would put him to death. So Paul was speaking a truth of endurance, of pressing on, of living in faith and love, of not needing to react because God is in control, even when we go through suffering. And as we strive forward in love, we also are seeking to strive forward rejoicing. And we see this concept, we saw this concept in verse 1 of chapter 3. We're going to see this again in verse 1 of chapter 4. That we rejoice, even in our suffering, we rejoice, we worship God with our lives. So we endure, we press forward, press on. We love those, even those who may put us to death. Even the worst of the worst, we seek love because we want them to experience love that we've received through Jesus. And we press forward in worship, rejoicing, even in our suffering, because we know that the pressing on that we will do, the moving forward in the midst of our suffering, is producing something wonderful in our lives. So let us live up to what we have already attained. Let us strive to live in the truth as children of God. He continues on in verse 17. He says, "Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do." Keep your eyes fixed on those, seeking out what it means to live in the truth. And so for us, we are seeking to live as Christ. Christ is our example. We are seeking to move forward, striving that our lives would reflect who we are. But one of the gifts we have as children of God is each other. The church is a huge blessing. I'm so grateful for each one of you who are here and those of you who are online with us, that we can strive together. And so Paul is saying, follow my example as I follow Christ. May my life, Paul is saying, reflect what it means to live in the truth, so that you also may live in the truth. And for us, that in part it means that we take God's word seriously. We're so grateful for the scriptures because they reflect what it means for us to live in the truth. We have to be in God's word, understanding what it means to live out our identity. But also, this means that we have to come together as brothers and sisters. I've heard it said that the church is a hospital for the sick. The church is a hospital for the sick. And though the church should be a place for those who are struggling, amen, you and I, we are the church. The church is not the building. The church is us. And so we come together to strive together. We need each other to spur each other on. I'm looking forward in the coming weeks to watch the track and field events. I myself was a runner. I enjoyed running. I loved the opportunity of what it meant to push for a finish line, because I could easily connect that with my relationship with God, the striving and straining. And yet my desire also to strive and strain with Jesus, that he works through me. So I'm looking forward to watching the athletes compete in track and field in the coming 2 weeks. But if you watch the runners, many of the runners, you will notice that they strive together, that each one of them push each other on, that they move forward. And some of these races you'll watch, if you watch the Olympics, you'll watch the runners run in a pack, that they'll be pushing each other on. And sometimes some of them will actually run a little bit slower because they want the pace to be a certain way, but they push each other forward till they get to the finish line. They will be striving together and pushing each other on for the gold medal. And as followers of Jesus, part of what it means to be the church is that we are pushing each other forward. Not that we are seeking to beat one another, that's not the point. But that as we watch each other, as we come together, we can understand and recognize what it means to say no to sin and say yes to godliness. To say no when we could cheat or we could lie or we could steal, and to say yes to God sustaining me because I have my brothers and sisters who God has provided for, and I can trust and recognize that God will continue to move me forward till he takes me home. So we need each other so that we can recognize what it means to strive and to strain, because again, Paul hadn't arrived. And you and I have not arrived either. We continue to move forward in faith. And as we press on, as we press forward, we will see God do the miraculous in and through us. Because we're going to see finite human beings. And I'll be the first to admit I'm a finite human being. But we will see finite human beings through the power of the Spirit move forward on God's mission. We will see God produce something wonderful through us, especially and most importantly, loving those who mistreat us, loving those who push back against our message, loving those who speak hate towards us. We can, in the miraculous way of the Spirit, we can move forward loving our enemies and reflecting the glory of God. So we need each other. We need to be the body of Christ, encouraging one another on. Because again, we haven't arrived, and we are striving forward to know Christ. We're striving forward to live in the truth. And we strive forward also to live as Christ. Because again, Christ is our ambition to live out what it means to be children of God. He continues on in verse 18. He says, "For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things." And in part, I think Paul wants to make it known who the enemies are, because he doesn't want the Philippian church to be surprised what it means to be an enemy of Christ. Again, this Philippian church is seeing, they're experiencing pushback. They're experiencing suffering. And so Paul doesn't want them to be surprised in the suffering that they may experience, because there are enemies. And what do these enemies look like? Well, their end is destruction. Destruction. Their end is something that opposes the work of God and the goodness of God. So their end is destruction. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. That is to say, their God is what pleases them in the moment. Their God is what will satisfy them right now without thinking of the eternal consequences. And their glory is in their shame. That is to say, their glory is in their wickedness. It's in their brokenness. Their glory is in the things that oppose what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So I think Paul is saying this in one respect so that the church would be able to recognize who the enemies of Christ are, that they wouldn't be surprised. But I think it's also important for you and I to see that we can live, even as children of God, we can live our lives in such a way at times where our lives actually can reflect the enemy. As we think about the Olympics, as we think about those who are striving and straining, you know, yesterday I was watching indoor volleyball. It's amazing to watch the teams as they rally together and push each other on and strain. They're all clapping for each other. There are no people in the stands, so they're pumping each other up just on their own. But it's amazing to watch as they push each other forward in that respect and that they encourage one another. But can you imagine if one of the team members all of a sudden just did what they wanted to do, that they all of a sudden began to act like the other team, began to move forward, actually helping the other team to accomplish what they were trying to do? You would never see that in the Olympics. And yet there are times in my life where I have to admit my life does not reflect the things of God. I've made mistakes. I fall short at times. I need to forget what is behind and strain forward towards what is ahead, because I don't want my life to help the enemy. I don't want my life to go against what brings God glory. And so it's important that we recognize that we can live lives of destruction at times. We don't want to do that. And much of our destruction, I believe it can come through in the destruction of relationships. That in the moment, we can forget what it means to lift up our brothers and sisters. We can forget what it means to love our enemies when we suffer. And please hear me, it is so hard to love our enemies. So hard to love our enemies. It's hard to love our friends at times. Amen? But we seek to move forward in love. And again, that's the miraculous. The Holy Spirit produces love in our lives. And so we move forward in faith, we move forward in love. We don't want to see disunity and destruction. And we don't want our God to be our stomach. We don't want to live for the moment, but I can do that. I can get short-sighted. I can begin to think, but I need this right now, God. I'm going to do things my way. Instead of having the mindset of endurance, of patience. And so I can seek God to be my stomach at times. I'm ashamed of that. So I need to forget what is behind and move forward even in that. Seeking the eternal things of God, the truth of God. And I do not want my glory to be in my shame. I forget that. I forget the mistakes that I made. I don't glorify them. I glorify God and the work that He's doing in my life. And I admit that I'm a sinner. Praise God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and will cleanse us of all unrighteousness so we can seek forgiveness and move forward in faith. And so we don't want to live lives as enemies of God, even in the moment. And praise God we can live lives as children of God. So if we're going to strive and strain to follow Jesus, to live as Christ, that also means that we have to say no to what may perceive or what we know causes us to be an enemy of Christ. We have to say no to those things so we can say yes to Christ. And as we say yes to Christ, praise God that we don't have to have our minds set on earthly things. Sorry, let's see if I can get there. Oh, there we go. Sorry about that. We don't have to have our minds set on earthly things. We don't have to have our minds set on being short-sighted. But we can have our minds set on what it means to be children of God. And what that looks like to be a child of God, it looks like also to be a citizen. And praise God. For me, I'm a citizen of the United States. And I have found so much blessing in being a citizen of the United States. And there can be so much good for that. I've been able to travel to different parts of the world for the sake of the gospel because of being a citizen of the United States. It's been very easy to travel at many times in my life. And so I appreciate the concept of being a citizen of the United States and my identity as that. But so much more is my identity as a follower of Jesus, a child of God, because I'm a citizen of heaven. If you put your trust in Jesus, you are a citizen of heaven. That is your identity. So if we can walk around and wave an American flag, or if you're from another country, if you can wave your flag, how much more can we wave the flag of Christ? Can we live our lives that reveal our citizenship in heaven? That is our identity, first and foremost, above it all. So this verse 20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if our citizenship is in heaven, that means that our citizenship is not on earth. This world is not my home. This place, the physical creation that you see right now, this is not our home. Our home is found in our citizenship. It is in heaven. And so we strive to live in our identity as followers of Christ. And we also live knowing that Christ will come back for us. There's one sense in which we live in the now, that is to say, we are waiting for Christ. And there is also the sense that we actually are living in the not yet, that is, we are living in our identity as in Christ. We're living in the power of the Holy Spirit, moving forward in faith. We're experiencing both. We wait for Christ, and yet we move forward in faith through the Spirit. And so Paul's saying, I look forward to, we await the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when he comes, oh, what a day that will be. He will transform our finite, lowly bodies. He will transform them into his, so to be like his heavenly body. What a day that will be. So we await, even as we suffer, even as we experience the brokenness of this life, we await the coming of Jesus. He will come again. So we strive forward in faith, waiting for him, knowing that we will receive the transforming work in full one day. But even now, even here, you and I are experiencing the transforming work of Jesus if you put your trust in Christ. So we can move forward in faith. I invite you to think about this. I invite you to reflect on this with me. Imagine this. As we live, as we seek to live as Christ, that we know that our citizenship is in heaven, as we seek to live as Christ, that will affect how you and I live our lives. It will affect it greatly. Because when, again, things don't go our way, and things might be going your way right now. Maybe they aren't going your way right now, but things might be going your way right now. But tomorrow is coming, even this afternoon is coming, and you may be surprised. I may be surprised. I said last week that my basement flooded from the rain on Saturday night into Sunday, and I ended up spending most of the beginning of my week working in my basement trying to dry it out. I mean, it's amazing what water can do. Like, it kept coming out of the ground. It was amazing. It was Tuesday, and water was still revealing itself. It was like, this is crazy, Lord. This is crazy. Did not know that that would come. And yet, there are still opportunities, even when the water is rising, for me to say, yeah, I could get upset. I could get angry. And I'll be honest, there were moments when I did get a little snippy and I had to apologize. Forgetting what is behind and pressing forward. But even as the water was rising, there were opportunities for me to say, God, this isn't going the way I want it to go, but I'm going to trust you. Move forward in faith. I'm going to continue to endure. I'm going to continue to love those, because for me, I was loving my wife. It's easy to love my wife. So I move forward in faith, even in that, enduring and loving, worshiping God, even when the waters are coming through the floor. We don't know what a day may bring. You don't know what a day may bring. You have opportunities to, even in suffering, and for me that was a minor struggle, blimp on the radar. Even in the struggles that we face in life, we have opportunities to worship God in that. So tomorrow morning, maybe you have an interaction with your boss or with your coworker or with your friend. What will you do in those moments when things don't go your way? Because it does not mean necessarily that you failed. It certainly doesn't affect your identity in Christ. You can still move forward in faith. And even when we sin, he forgives us of our sin. We can move forward. So when you experience suffering, that means you can move forward trusting in God. And as we move forward, I think this also, again, it affects how we worship God with our lives. Because no, I'm not an Olympian. You're not an Olympian. I don't think any of us are Olympians. Are there any Olympians in the room? Anybody who was a past Olympian, but for us, no, we're not Olympians. But we're so much more than that. You're so much more than that. You're a son or daughter of God. You are a son or daughter of the creator of the universe if you put your trust in Jesus. You are so much more than an Olympian. And that means each moment of your life, everything that you experience, the suffering even, every moment matters. If practices matter to an Olympian, if they forsake things for the sake of winning the prize, why wouldn't we forsake things for the sake of our prize, which is knowing Christ more and more? Why wouldn't we say no to things that may even seem superficial because we want to experience the fullness of what it means to know Jesus? So we say no to things, even things that seem somewhat superficial, because we strive forward, because we are children of God, and God wants to work through you. So we move forward in faith. We strive, we press on. And so I want to pray for us this morning that we would seek to live as Christ, even as we come now to communion. God, I thank you. I'm grateful that you've given us an identity. If we put our trust in you, we are citizens of heaven. We're citizens of you, God. And you've called us your children. Called us heavenward, called us upward. God, may we live what it means to be children of you. May we strive and strain to reveal the truth, knowing that it's truly you who are doing the work in and through us. You provide through your transforming work in us. And you desire to walk with us through the joys and even and especially through the sorrows of this life, knowing that even in suffering and even in death, we can glorify you. And even in those things, especially in those things, we can experience what it means to be in the resurrection of the dead, to experience that resurrecting power. So God, may we experience that resurrecting power even now in our lives. Lord, move us forward in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.